Podcast Line, and welcome back to Spoilers, your movie review podcast where your hosts have lots of opinions but zero credentials. I am your host, Hollywood, and I'm joined by the two regulars, Maestro and Adam. Mm-hmm. Introduce yourselves.
Yo.
Hello.
We have a special third guest. Hasn't been on the show a long time. Welcome back to the show, Jester.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
This is actually your first official show.
Official show, yeah.
Because the one show you were on, Over the Top, was...
That wasn't supposed to air.
Yeah, it was a test run to see if we had chemistry, and then you were never on it again.
Yeah.
But now you're on it.
Right. Let's see if that chemistry holds up.
And today's going to be a special blind episode for Jester.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't see today's movie, and we're going to explain it to him, and it's, we're
going
to get some reactions out of him.
Oh, yeah.
When we go with this movie. This week, we're watching Stolen. That's the name of the movie.
Yep.
Something Got Stolen.
What's it about? Yeah.
Well, hold on. This is 2012 Stolen. It's directed by Simon West. Simon West directed Con Air.
Oh.
Laura Croft, Tomb Raider.
Croft.
The Expendables 2.
Oh, wow.
Croft. Laura Croft, my bad.
Yes.
This movie stars Nicolas Cage, Josh Lucas, Danny Houston, and Malin Ackerman. Brief synopsis. A former thief frantically searches for his missing daughter, who has been kidnapped and locked in the trunk of a taxi.
Yeah,
that's the whole movie.
That's the whole movie.
But
there's
actually
a little bit more to
it. But the whole main story about it is Nicolas Cage, the main character, is trying to figure out how he's losing his hair through the whole movie.
Adam, let's start explaining this to Jester.
Yeah, all right, go.
All right. Nicolas Cage apparently is the world's best thief. As the tagline is, don't steal from the world's best thief. Later on you find out he's known as the best bank robber.
Yes.
Which is upsetting for a couple reasons. But I'll get to that later. It starts off with doing a heist, and this is where the problem comes in. The FBI is staking him out because they have an informant that told him where this heist is going to take place. They see Nicolas Cage and his crew show up in a car, and in the style of Gone in 60 Seconds, he has to hear some music before he robs something.
CCR.
Yeah, this is Clear Water Revival, which is Maestro's karaoke song. Anyway, so they hear that music and they start doing the robbing thing. They go into a toy store first, and then they break down the wall to get into what the FBI thinks is a jewelry store.
Okay.
But being the world's greatest bank robber, I don't know why they thought he was going to rob a jewelry store, but that's the FBI intelligence.
Clearly a bank down the street.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Nobody thought, we should put some cars in front of that bank.
Yeah, no, the world's best bank robber is now going to do jewelry. Maybe switching it up.
A little bit of a difference.
Yeah. It's not like we've been studying him for 1,000 years and know his every move. But, let's take out the jewelry store instead. So they end up robbing the bank pretty easily. Yeah. They rob a bank.
The FBI has all their eggs in one basket. They think he's going to rob a jewelry store. So they move in when they hear him break through the wall and start, drilling through something.
Mm-hmm.
So Danny Houston, did you watch the Wolverine? Oh, you saw the Wolverine movie, right? The shitty one with Deadpool?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the general who recruits him?
Yeah, I do.
He's Danny Houston. He's the FBI guy who's chasing Nick Cage.
Yeah.
He goes, move in. And, of course, they're not in the jewelry store. And he clicks. He realizes his brain. Wait a minute. There's a bank down the street. Everyone converged to the bank.
Yeah. Isn't he the same guy that plays the bad guy in 30 Days of Night?
The head vampire.
Yeah. The FBI couldn't figure that out?
No. This is brilliant.
This is the New Orleans division.
Yeah, this whole movie.
Racist.
So who knows? No. It's black. It's just, there's a party town.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll let that one go.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, the only jewelry in the whole city is beads.
Okay.
They're robbing $10 million, which split four. There's four people in the crew. There's Malin Ackerman, who was in, did you watch Watchmen?
Yeah.
She was the main chick.
Okay.
Her, the guy from Con Air, the redneck who drives the plane. He's like the driver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Lucas, who was in Sweet Home Alabama, Glory Road, should have been a star. I'm going to get to that.
So, all right.
And then Nick Cage. They're going to split $10 million four way. They said, this is enough for us to disappear forever. This is
2012.
Oh, no.
2012.
It's 8 years prior.
Okay.
So it's 2004. But still.
Yeah.
Split four ways. You can't disappear
completely.
Back then,
if you go out of the country.
Yeah. You can you can live on a different country for forever.
Yeah.
But then again, this is a team that's been together for a long time, and this is supposed to be the one final heist. So maybe they already have a reserve, and this
is
just going to top them off. And
why are you defending him?
It's like that game Payday.
No, I don't know. That's a good point. I don't know why I'm defending this movie. The whole movie is just full of horrible plot points.
It's bad. Yeah. It's bad then.
It's all bad.
Is it because it's just Nicolas Cage movies?
No, it's bad setup. There's bad plot holes. So we're made to so they're in the bank, and Josh Lucas sees a shitload of gold. This is a consumer bank. and it seems like they're robbing the Federal Reserve. There's fucking giant gold bars just laying in the vault along with people's money and their normal safe deposits.
Wait, is it like a pirate ship where they open the safe and then it's just like like so dollar bills are flying out of chests? And
no, the dollar bills were on pallets the same way the gold was on pallets. In much like the Die Hard 3, that's Bruce Willis reference, by the way, already. The gold is sitting on pallets inside of the behind a gate.
That, yeah,
but, just like that.
But that's like the World Bank or the Federal Reserve.
That makes sense.
Yeah. This bank is a consumer bank in New Orleans.
It's like, it's like Chase.
It's pretty much, it's like a savings and loan in New Orleans. And Josh Lucas eyes the gold and he's like, oh, I wouldn't mind getting some of that. And Nick Cage is like, hey, what's the time? Because we got a certain amount of time to get out of here. We're focused on the cash. Don't worry about your gold.
Okay. Right.
So they leave and they run into like a janitor, someone who's outside of the bank fixing something in a car.
So some old, he might even be a taxi cab driver. Yeah. They refer to him as a janitor later, but I feel like he was a taxi driver of some kind. And the main crazy dude is like, Jesus. we gotta kill him because he saw our faces. And Nick Cage, no bodies, man, no bodies.
No killing.
No killing, whatever. Yeah. So there's a kerfuffle there. Nick Cage somehow shoots the guy in the leg. I'm not sure how that happened. They were wrestling.
His partner. His partner. Yeah. Josh Lucas.
Yeah, in order to save the janitor, shoots him in the leg, and then he takes him to the car, the getaway car, and then realizes, oh, I left the $10 million sitting on the floor back there.
What?
I'll go back and get it real quick.
In a duffel bag.
Yeah, in a duffel bag. So he goes back to get it, at which point the guy driving the car decides, we've waited long enough. We got to get out of here.
Because they hear sirens.
Yeah.
The FBI finally figured out, let's split up and check the neighborhoods around the bank.
Yeah. So they take off, leave him there with the money, and he's now running down the streets trying to find some way to get away from the thousands of cops that are after him.
He assaults three cops, perfect, like he's a ninja.
Oh, yeah. He throws the money at him for no reason. Yeah.
What?
He throws, like, the thing of money at him, bam, to knock him to the ground. He does all these kung fu moves.
All right, Mr. Madden.
And he gets in the, all right, well, you gotta get the money here. You circle up. You gotta get the money here. And takes the car and takes off. He then becomes Nick Cage in Gone in 60 Seconds. He's the best. Not only is he the best bank thief, he's the best getaway driver in the world.
That was one of the things I had a problem with, too. Like, all of a sudden, he's a stunt driver.
Why does he need a team?
Yeah, why isn't he driving the damn car? Right? If he can drive that well.
He should have been in the car.
No, it's just he became a stunt driver, and he was doing things with the car that I wouldn't even think to do. Because he's like going up over curbs, which I feel like there's a problem there. Just a car going up a curb, I feel like would slow it down a lot more than he's just like flying over them. Like it was a ramp, a perfect ramp by the curb to launch him over things. And he ends up going into a parking garage, which is a real dumb move.
Because there's only one way out.
Yeah. Unless you're going to fly off the top of the parking garage.
And it's a multi-level. So he's got to go up.
Oh, I understand. Well, when you say parking garage, I mean, I don't know what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Well, subterranean, maybe. Garage. It's not a parking garage if there's only one level. It's just a parking lot.
Yeah.
My bad.
Dude. It's covered parking.
Yeah. So, continue, please.
Yeah, he goes through there, and he's like going up the levels and turning around. And
they don't get cornered in the parking garage.
No, well, it's just like every parking garage scene in any movie ever. Some car's backing up, like, oh, no, there's a car backing up. And they have to stop at the brakes. Let me turn around. And he's driving backwards now. Again, stunt driving. Driving backwards in like at super speeds around the parking garage, all the pillars and everything, missing everything. And then again, out of any parking garage movie, the cop that's trailing him gets hit by another cop car.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then he kind of semi gets away a little bit, but then he goes into a different parking structure, which is, being run over by homeless people and they have a barrel fire there and like old homeless.
No, it's like
style.
An abandoned building. Oh, what happens is he leaves the parking structure and he runs over the spikes. He goes the wrong way.
What?
So his tires are all jacked.
You tell me this genius. Okay, so the genius driver bank robber can't see
doesn't
a sign
realize
that says,
he's going
the wrong
way.
And
then bam.
Well,
spikes.
First of all, the spikes are facing the wrong way.
Oh, so
for any normal.
They were in the right position. They were.
Yeah, but they were turned around. That means if you're in the parking garage, you cannot exit.
Yeah.
That's not how the spikes work. They're supposed to keep people from going into the parking garage to get free parking.
No, I understand.
Once you're in there, what? We're going to prevent you from leaving. We're going to fuck up your tires if you try to leave. You should have already paid it by this point, normally, or something.
This is New Orleans?
Yes. Maybe they're all back ass.
Everything's backwards.
I don't know.
This is pre-Katrina, dude.
Okay.
Who knows what the fuck is happening out there? Yeah. Who knows what's happening out there?
Well, I explained why.
Oh.
So Nick Cage, he goes to an abandoned building and there's all these homeless guys. So the cops are surrounding him and they go, all right, we're going to get you.
Yeah.
Come out.
Yeah.
I'm like, you have the whole fucking SWAT team. Just move in and get him. You know he's unarmed.
Yeah.
You know his car's fucked up. So they arrest him and the money's gone. They can't find the money.
Oh, yeah, okay.
8 years later.
Yeah, he serves 8 years in jail for the robbery, but not another 10 years because he didn't have the money on him.
He technically didn't steal anything because they couldn't find it.
What about shooting his friend?
Well, his friend's not pressing charges. He's also a thief.
Mm. Yeah. Everyone got away.
Yeah.
The chick, the guy, the white trash guy.
Well, okay, really, though, he would be serving. He'd have like 20 different sentences. He'd be like destruction of private property. And then you have like assaulting a police officer.
Yeah.
Times three.
Plus, if he's this world-renowned thief already, I'm sure
he must have multiple.
Yeah, he's got a rap sheet, I'm sure.
Are you telling me he pulled a blue streak with like Martin Lawrence?
Martin Lawrence? No.
He hit it there?
I honestly thought that's where the plot was going.
You thought it was going
to
be hidden?
I'm like, this building's going to be FBI headquarters. He's going to have to disguise himself as a cop to fucking get in there somehow. And if you haven't seen the trailer. In the trailer, they make it seem like he's got to do one more crime and blah, 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 blah. And that happens later on. But I'm jumping way too far ahead.
Okay, so
he doesn't rat out his crew. So everybody's went scot-free.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's loyal. He's the best thief in the world who's loyal.
Right.
Who won't rat his boys out.
But he's dumb as bricks.
He's also an amazing father. Because right before he goes in to rob the bank, he gets a phone call from his daughter. He's like, "Oh, hey, baby, how's it going? Oh, you were supposed to be the odd pages. I'll color the even pages." And he's like being this like lovable father dude, which I think is just weird for a thief. If he loves his daughter that much, then stop thieving.
Well, how do you know he just didn't have like a bad upbringing and he didn't have a good skill set to take part in modern society?
I'll tell you why. Because he told the child to read the odd pages in a book with a story that's linear.
Oh, well, he did that
book?
Because
I think
all the answers
book.
Are in the back
book.
Of the work on the odd pages.
No, it's a coloring book.
Oh.
Yeah. She colors in the evens. He has to go home color the odds.
Why?
I don't know.
Spending time. Oh, and he does a Nick Cage moment. He's on the phone with her, and he's like, "I'm going to make you the pancakes." And you know how Nick Cage has that, like,
outburst.
The outburst? Yeah. That was his Cageism.
Yeah. That, from the beginning, you already know it. He's Nick Cage.
There's no bear suits in this movie, is there?
No.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's another horrible Nick Cage movie.
Okay, so what's wrong with this? What's wrong? What happens?
He gets out of jail, and he goes to see his daughter, which I guess he hasn't talked to in 8 years, which, again, I thought he was a good father, but maybe he's a shitty father.
Well, the FBI picks him up, and they say, "Where do you want us to take you?" And he goes, "Why'd you pick me up?" And he goes, "I know you know where that money is. I know the second we let you go, you're going to get that money and run. So don't worry, Will,"
left,
or whatever his
it.
Name is.
Did he leave it behind in a certain place?
That's we, as an audience, don't know where the money is.
I knew.
Well, you're not supposed to know.
Yeah.
I knew from the fucking first second what happened to that
money. So it was just bad. It was just done bad.
Dude, let's just tell him what happens.
No, yeah, just tell
him. He
burns the money. That car.
So he has no proof.
Trash can of fire I talked about. He threw the money in there to get rid of it.
So he had the money.
He had the money. But no, he burnt it
before the
got
cops
out of the,
raided him.
Yeah, before he got arrested, he burnt all the money. So the evidence is gone. The money's gone. But he comes out and his ex-teammates think he has the money. Or two of them do at least. Mm-hmm. And
not
so
the girl, right?
No, the girl's fine.
Yeah,
she's sweet, innocent, and she's turned her life around. She's got a legitimate bartending job at a cop bar. He's coming out like, "Hey, I'm going to go straight. I'm not going to be a thief anymore. I want to be a good father," whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out the guy that got shot in the leg, he supposedly died, because he got caught up with some wrong people and he owed a lot of money, so he's dead. For about 5 minutes, he's dead. And then he gets a phone call from him like, "Hey, I want my money." And he's like, "Well, I don't have the money. I don't have it."
Well, actually, what happens is he goes to see the daughter.
Yeah.
The daughter's like, "Fuck you, Dad. I don't want to see you. I'm going to go to the therapist because I have dad issues," or whatever. She gets in a cab.
Yeah. She says that literally. I have abandonment issues for some reason.
Yeah. She gets in the cab and the cab takes off. And then he goes to see her at the bar. And then he gets a phone call from Josh Lucas.
Yeah.
And Nick Cage is all, "Hey, buddy, how's it going? How you doing?" A guy he shot in the leg.
"I thought you were dead. You're alive. That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Let's go fishing."
Wouldn't you answer the phone like scared, like, "Hello"? Like, thing is a ghost.
Well, I think it was
something.
Like an unknown number.
Oh. Yeah. The phone was dropped off by the other dude.
Yeah. There was I completely forgot about that part. There's an envelope that has his name on it, Will Montgomery. And then it says just his name. He's like, "Oh, what's this? I don't know. It was dropped off for you earlier."
Yeah, the daughter gives it
to him. Puts
it in his
pocket, and then he hears a phone ring. It's coming from the bag, and then it's his homeboy, Josh Lucas, the guy he shot. He somehow turns into a crackhead, like a meth user. He has, like, long, stringy hair. The leg he got shot in, amputated. He has, like, a Captain Dan leg.
It's a stupid leg. It's one of those – it's like an antler. One of the things that the runners use.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's kind of like a –
like the runner for
stupid
the –
leg. How is it prosthetic? You can say prosthetic.
It's not a prosthetic. It's metal.
It's like, yeah, it's their prosthetic legs.
Yeah, but it looks weird, and it just.
I know what you mean. Those things are awesome, dude. They, yeah. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
You can run with those.
Yeah, they run. People actually get those, yeah, and then they play sports with those.
Aren't they made out of, like, those helicopter, like, fins things?
That helicopter blades?
Yeah.
They're really strong, malleable. Yeah, yeah. Dude,
magic
great.
Legs.
Yeah.
It's made out of magic.
Call me a wizard?
What?
So, apparently, he's the cab driver, dun-dun-dun, yeah. And he has his daughter in the back seat. And he says, I want that $10 million. I know where you have it. You have 12 hours to get me the money. And he goes, oh, well, it's in Tuscaloosa, which is in Alabama.
First he's like, I don't have the money. I burnt it. Or yeah. It's gone. And he's like, ah, you're lying to me. And if you don't have the money, I'm going to kill your daughter. Oh, no, I got the money. I got the money.
Yeah.
So he's trying to find a way to get the money. And he tells the guy, it's in Tuscaloosa with my attorney or accountant or something. Mm-hmm. And he does something that's pretty smart. And actually, I'm convinced... I'll get to that later.
You are, like, helping Nick Cage again. What is
that? It was a smart thing he did, even though he was using a BlackBerry, which I feel like is outdated technology.
Everybody has a BlackBerry in this movie.
Well, what?
2012.
The story's supposed to take place in 2012.
Yeah.
The robbery was in 2004. It's now 8 years later.
Isn't it because they pushed the emails?
Does it have the little ball in the center?
It's the
It has
one.
The touchpad?
Touchpad.
Is it, like, the brand new one? Oh, the Z10. Okay.
Everyone has one.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone's a BlackBerry.
Everyone has a BlackBerry.
Yeah. Advertising, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Product placement.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah. We'll see.
Oh, no, I know.
When we get to my stats.
Okay.
You'll see.
All right. All right.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So he gets the call from the guy on a BlackBerry phone, and he's telling him that he'll get the money. And the first thing he does is he goes to some random kiosk in a mall to buy another phone.
Drops $30. Turns it on. Suddenly activated.
Yeah. Instantly.
Yeah.
That's
instantly.
Awesome.
Yeah. You and I both know that's not possible.
Well, it's not instantly. They activate themselves now. But I mean, now
he has to be in a system.
Yeah, yeah.
He just put 30. Give me the phone. Turns it on. Instantly activated. He forwards the calls to this phone, and he puts the BlackBerry that he was given on a train to Tuscaloosa because the cabbie says, "I'm going to be tracking you."
Okay.
Yeah. So the phone is still on its way to Tuscaloosa, but the calls are coming to his new phone that he just got off the kiosk.
He ran out of minutes really quick.
And I have a problem with this.
Yeah.
We're under the assumption that this phone is already on using batteries because it's on and you hear the phone ring in the bag.
Right.
This BlackBerry is going to last all the way to Tuscaloosa, still full of juice while he's tracking him. Hmm. But not even that. I have an even bigger problem.
Okay.
I hate plots that are... The only way the plot moves forward is on these really just contingencies, these really random set of circumstances. Okay. His plan hinges on the daughter getting in the cab and kidnapping her, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it hinges on the fact that he gets the phone delivered to the house.
Yeah. Right.
Now, my old internship days, my boss used to do this. In plots like this, he would say...
What? Drop off
he
would phones do, and take people off in cabs?
No, he would do the what-if game. He goes, okay. Okay, so this plot doesn't make sense. Well, what if this happened? What if this happened?
Right.
Let me throw a couple at you. What if Nick Cage is running late? What if the daughter's running late? What if the phone dies before it even gets there to the house?
Right.
What if the daughter opens the package thinking, oh, well, my dad's not going to be around.
Yeah,
see
or
what's
throws
in
it
here.
Away. Screw them, this guy.
What if
dad.
She took another cab?
Yeah.
What if he didn't make it there in time because of traffic?
Right.
What if the daughter...
By the way, it is Fat Tuesday, the huge Mardi Gras thing happening.
So
traffic
it's
is a huge issue.
There. Yeah. What if the daughter has a second heart and says, oh, Dad, I miss you. They embrace and she never leaves to get into a cab.
All right.
You see the random chant?
Yeah.
Like, his whole plot hinges on this one set of circumstances to happen and it falls in perfectly. I hate when plots hinge on it has to be perfect. Everything I thought of everything. Everything's been thought of.
Not to mention he's a meth head planning everything out.
Yeah.
Too.
Right. Not a very bright dude. Crazy as hell as you get to know later on in the movie.
Yeah, he lost his leg, man.
Yeah. And he's also missing fingers because
he
had to give some physical evidence that he died. So he cut off two of his fingers on his right hand, his pinky and his ring finger, to throw in the grave in the burn site or whatever as proof that Vincent whatever died.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? They could have pulled
that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't
because
make sense.
Because if it burns away the flesh in the skin – you don't identify people by their fucking phalanges, man.
Yeah, exactly. By their dental work.
Yes, exactly. It's like, let's examine this.
You find
this
out later on he found a guy who kind of looked like him.
Yeah.
And that's the body they used.
All right, well, back to the story, though. He puts the phone on the train, which to me should have also been a huge red flag. Some random dude runs on a train, looks around, puts a phone in the carry-on, and then leaves the train. This is post 9/11.
Yeah, right.
In New Orleans, I feel
post
like
post Katrina.
Yes, post Katrina.
Now it's post Katrina.
This has got to be a huge red flag. People on the train are like, whoa! That guy just put something on the train. The whole train should have been evacuated, and they should have should have got arrested or something at that point. Because it's just suspicious to put what looked like a phone, some little block on the train, leave while looking around, panicked. Like, did anybody see me? Is it good? All right, put it on and then run out. That's wildly suspicious.
I get off the train.
Meanwhile, the FBI is following Nick Cage. They lose him. They get him, and they bring him in the office, and he tells Danny Houston, he has my daughter. No, we have evidence he's alive, and he shows him the burned body and stuff. He goes,
yeah, he's dead.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to look for your daughter around town. You're going to get the money. You're going to be off drinking fruity drinks in the Bahamas. Right. I don't believe you. We're going to be watching you all day.
By the way, that would have been a much better movie.
Yes.
If that was the plot of the movie, it would have been amazing. As soon as he said, I'm like, that's awesome. That's how
it
should
have
been.
That was like a big twist.
That's what you should have
been
watching.
A good twist. If that was a twist, I would have been like, oh, fuck yeah. But no, not such a twist.
This should have been a cool heist movie where he's like, I want my $10 million back. Well, I don't have it. He's like, well, you better find it. I thought the movie from this point was going to go, okay, I'm going to stake out another bank or I'm going to stake out something,
yeah,
rob the place, get the money somehow and come back. I thought it was going to turn into like another like heist movie of some kind. Instead, right, it turns into another shitty action movie.
Yeah, real shitty.
Isn't that all he does though?
Yeah, seems that way. I mean, it's from the Face Off days, he's fallen a lot.
Yeah.
Face Off was to me a great action movie.
The Rock was good too.
The Rock was good, yeah. Connor was meh.
Yeah.
But I mean, this movie had potential just based on that plot that the cop gave. I swear to God, if that was the movie plot, it would have been such a butcher.
And I was
movie.
Hoping to at the end, I was like, maybe they're in on it and they just distract the cops somehow. No.
Or what if the cops are in on it?
Yeah. See, a lot of things could have made this movie better, but there was no redeeming qualities.
No. So they're taking him out. The FBI agents are like, get him out of here. They're in the elevator.
Oh, God in heaven.
The world's greatest
car thief, crook,
bank robber,
jewelry heist.
You're not cuffing them or anything,
right?
He knocks out the two FBI guys, takes their badge,
right?
Handcuffs them to the rail and sends them to the top floor. He then sneaks into the FBI building using that same badge and types in his partner's information,
right? To find one of the other guys' accomplices.
I'm not sure. I don't know about you, but if I work for the FBI and I see a guy who's the world's best bank robber or a guy you don't recognize start using FBI computers, I would say, hey, who's that?
Hold on.
You're not Sam.
Hey, I saw that guy put a phone suspiciously on a train as well. There's something wrong with this character.
Yeah. he gets the address of where his partner is, the white trash guy, the original driver, goes to see him. Danny Houston, they figure out, oh, shit, he's in the FBI building. He got out.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't catch up to him because he's the world's best thief.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be the world's best escape artist?
Right. No, this guy was – he was a cartoon character of anything that was ever a thief.
He had no like weaknesses.
No.
And that's how you identify with characters as flaws and stuff. He had no flaws. He could just do anything.
Yeah, all he had was the stuttering and the random weird gestures. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
Nicholas Cage.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why Bruce Willis is the best action star of all time, because of his flaws that he's constantly just put through the ringer, and he just pushes through.
Fuck you, man.
All right. Anyway, so the guy with the peg leg or the antelope leg, whatever you call it, there's a name for it. That's like gazelle leg, I think. I think gazelle leg is what they use it in the Olympics. Is what they have.
Okay, that's why
I keep saying that.
Okay.
Anyway,
let's call it a prosthetic.
This guy, prosthetic. He has a daughter now, and he drugs the daughter. And this was my turn-off moment, by the way.
This 20, 30 minutes
moment?
In,
yes.
That's the turn-off moment.
As soon as you find out that this guy is alive, and he starts talking to the daughter like, hey, I'm going to – oh, my God. It's just so upsetting.
What's up?
Breathe.
Tell me. I haven't seen this thing.
He takes the daughter to some random garage, and she's like, hey, this is the therapist's office. And it's weird. Like, so he gets out the car, and he goes all the way around the car to the side opposite where he was to drug her. He puts a needle in her neck, and he starts explaining like, oh, all these things, and I could have been the best. And he goes on this rampage about this rants about the stupidest things. At that point, is when I was like, this guy is nuts. He's a horrible character. It took a weird turn, and I was no longer interested. That would have been my turn off moment. Have I had it or not? Been forced to watch the rest of this movie.
I thought this was going to be a heist movie. I thought it was going to be them, because that was cool how they got away with robbing the bank, how they tricked them.
Yeah.
That was clever. And I'm thinking they're going to do more clever crimes. He's going to do more clever crimes.
Nope, that's
to
it.
Try to get, no.
No.
See, I'm convinced that this movie.
It's a redemption movie.
This movie was made for two, maybe three reasons. Whoever was writing this had two good ideas. one of which is we forward the cell phone calls and put on a train. Ah, that's good. No one's done that before. Great. All right. This the girl, we're going to hide her in the trunk of the car. But before we hide her in the trunk of the car, we're going to put all kinds of soundproof the trunk so nobody can hear it. Oh, brilliant. Nobody's done that. That's it. Those two things not been done in a movie before, as far as I know. They wanted to get that in a movie, and this is the best way they could do it. That's it. A cell phone on a train, soundproof the trunk. Great ideas. Great ideas for a good movie. Only thing about this movie that was like, oh, we need a plot. That's smart. Now, a plot.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. All right. All right. Oh, good movie already. Yeah. All right. He's a thief, right? The best thief. No, not the second best. The best. And also good at everything else. And then just shit just started falling all over the place.
It just seemed like, well, what can we do now?
How about karate?
Yeah, he does karate.
All right, karate. Karate works.
Yeah. That's it. Those two good things. And maybe the whole thing about distracting the at the first heist, because they have surveillance of Nick Cage casing the jewelry store. They have him in the jewelry store looking at things, and they have pictures of him. That's why they think he's in the jewelry store. Also, semi-good idea. So those two, maybe three ideas are the only reason this movie got made, as far as I'm concerned. They wanted to put that in a movie, and this was the only movie they could think to put it in and let everybody run free. And everybody caught the Nicolas Cage bug, which is horrible acting.
Yeah.
These guys that we've seen in the movie, they're all decent actors by themselves, but in this movie, they're all horrible at making me believe anything about anybody else.
It's like Nick Cage's talent is a black hole, and he's sucking in all yes. the talent yes. in with him.
Right.
And they can't escape.
The
not even light
the
can escape.
Horizon just disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, oh my God. So, yeah. So he soundproofs the car, the trunk, and puts the girl in there, and he's driving around. That's his way to stay mobile, so I guess he can't be tracked down.
Mm-hmm.
There's a point where she figures out a way to burrow through the trunk into the back seat of the car. She rips away at the insulation, and then she rips through the leather. So now there's a little hole in the back seat where she's trying to get the attention of some other passenger that got in the car, which the dude goes crazy again for no reason. The guy's like, hey, it's Mardi Gras. Hey, how about the people over here? And he's like, the people in this country are amazing. He goes on a tire and he kicks the guys out. And it's just for no reason.
Yeah, he was like, New Orleans used to be a town where the French would send their prisoners. And then he just goes on this weird history tire, and you would have liked it. Well, actually, you probably wouldn't have.
No,
so he just beats the shit out of him. So now the girl is trapped there again.
Yeah.
She is smart, though. They actually tell you this. If you get kidnapped, kick out the brake lights.
Yes.
Yeah. Or stick your hand finger through the hole or something to get attention. That is pretty smart.
Yes.
It's like, or I was thinking if she could poke like the people that were getting into the car, too. It's like, hey.
That's what she was trying to do.
I know.
Yeah. And this is a huge problem I had also.
On the passenger? BlackBerry. He had a BlackBerry.
Really? Oh, yeah. Right. He had a BlackBerry as well.
Yeah. Is it all the same BlackBerry?
Yeah.
It
looks like model, one just different colors.
They gave to every actor.
Yeah. They're all businessmen. All of them.
Yeah. This is a guy from out of town. They're hooking up with chicks, one of which is pregnant. I'm not sure why that's relevant.
He's an Aussie.
Yeah. He has a BlackBerry.
What does that have to do with anything?
He's an Aussie.
Nothing. Nothing in this movie has nothing to do with anything in the rest of the movie.
Just random coincidences?
Yes, everything is random coincidences.
Everything hinges on these just coincidences that need to happen. His plot is so flawed that he needs everything to work perfectly.
But what if he already planned everything out to the linchpin
theory? No, there are variables.
I like the linchpin theory, but there are variables.
There's variables in everything.
Yes.
Okay, but how does the movie end?
So let's move along. He goes to his old partner, the white trash guy.
Right.
And he finds out that he's been working with Josh Lucas, the cab driver, to track his daughter, to track him. Danny Houston wearing a weird fucking hat from this point through.
I don't know why.
It was like the Walter White hat.
Yeah.
The Heisenberg hat. They go in, and I've never understood this about cop movies. I'm not in SWAT. I'm not a tactician.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to go chase a guy in a building, I might want to put some guys on the ground floor just in case he gets out of the building.
Right, yeah.
They put all their cops in that one hallway. Yeah. Go get him!
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's called a perimeter.
We're going to get him this time, so.
There's no perimeter.
Don't worry about the back door. Don't worry about the windows. We're going to get him right now.
Ah, we'll get him.
That reminds me of a big game of Snake. You know, just have like one long line.
Oh, yeah.
They turn left and they turn right. They can't run into each other. And meanwhile, the guy's just gone.
Yeah.
He does escape.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, yeah.
The world's best escape artist escapes again for the second time.
Wow. He's so really good at evading.
So up to this
lines.
Point, I want to make this a good point.
Okay.
Let's look at the crimes he's committed up to this point.
Right.
Okay. He has assaulted two federal officers.
Right.
He accessed a federal database.
Right.
He has violated his parole.
Right.
That's true.
He assaulted officers again.
Yep.
He was breaking and entering. He broke into his ex-partner's place.
Yep.
He stole a car. Oh, we're getting there.
Yeah.
He steals a car.
Yeah. Because he finds out from the guy that just...
The white trash guy.
Yeah, the white trash dude. That he's got the daughter in a cab driving around. So now he's on the lookout for a cab.
So he gets in the car too.
Yeah.
So during Mardi Gras.
On his way out, he gets hit by a cab. The same exact make model of the cab.
Same company.
Same company, yeah. And then so he steals that cab, and he finds out through him, the guy that is driving the cab, to call the dispatch, says, hey, find out this guy with the peg leg and the weird fingers and whatever. And they find out who he is, what car he's in, and now he's on the lookout for that car.
So basically
– again, the coincidence.
Yeah, exactly.
He just happened to find
legitimate cab company. He has a medallion number and everything, and they know it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Huh. New crime. Hostage. Now he's a hostage by gunpoint and stealing this car.
Right.
That's another crime. I'll get back to this later.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's in the cab. He finds out where the other cab is in general location. He starts driving that way. And he manages to run into the parade that is happening. But somehow it's like the second car in line at the parade. And then instantly gets jammed in by every other car. Which I feel like if there's a parade happening, you know, to avoid this street. And you're not going to be able to go down this street. Yeah. So you get there and you're stuck. You're going to be there for the next 5 days until this parade is over.
That's about right.
Because yeah. It's Fat Tuesday.
Yeah. It's Fat Tuesday, yeah.
It's all day parade.
Yeah, but he was the second person in line to get to this cross section. And then instantly is flooded with other people.
Yeah.
So he can't get out. So he gets out of the car. He's looking around. Hey, there's the cab that I'm supposed to look for.
Because up top it's the cab number. He finds out from the dispatch what the cab number is. He sees it up top. He stops the guy, and it's a guy with long stringy hair, just like Josh Lucas. And of course it's not.
No, of course it's not. Because you look at the time, you still got 30 minutes to go.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Actually, we're about halfway at this point. Ugh. Opens the trunk. No daughter. It's his cab's GPS in there. So Josh Lucas again needed this guy to start driving around with him too. But he said he couldn't let him know what was on the plot. But hey, is it cool if I open your trunk real quick? Bam! Throw that GPS in there.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Nick Cage gets stopped by feds again. They get him. They put him in a car. We're transporting him now. Handcuffed in the back. His phone's ringing. It's Josh Lucas. He said, if you don't answer by the eighth ring, your daughter's dead. It's on the dashboard. Things on the dashboard. Instead of parking it, the criminal's phone, just, it's right there. We're good.
Yeah. Just leave it on the
driving
table.
Nick Cage needs to get out before the eighth ring. So he breaks his thumb to escape his cuffs. And it bends all the way back. Like, no pain, no reaction. Just, slips out, grabs a hold of the wheel. Fucking crashes the car.
The car just flips.
The car just does these random flips. He's not in a seatbelt. The two cops are. The two feds are. Again.
Yes.
Risking his life. Horrible plan.
By the way, there's another cop car that's like right behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And
that runs into another innocent car.
The other car that's behind him, as soon as the other car flips over, he loses control.
He's like, whoa!
And this is like a farmer's market move. I guess he can't hit the brake, so he just keeps accelerating through everything. It's like the car in front of me just got blown up or flipped over. I'm going to hit the brakes to find out what's happening. No, I'm going to accelerate, go through everything, knock over things, and flip my own damn car.
Nick Cage gets out with that scratch on him, answers the phone before the eighth call.
Yeah,
And his thumb never, the issue never pops up again.
No, he fixes it while he's on the phone.
Yeah, he pops it back in, but
so he doesn't break his thumb, he dislocates it.
Yeah, dislocates it and puts it back
in. He's double jointed.
Yeah, very Lethal Weapon style.
Yeah, you know who else is double? I was just going to say that. Yeah. Not Bruce Willis, though.
No.
Every morning he eats a bullet.
The far inferior Riggs.
Riggs can get out of his straitjacket.
All right. God.
Maybe it's his brother.
No, we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that later.
Okay.
What?
So we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
What happens? Oh, fuck. My notes are so scattered of just how much I hated this movie.
Yeah.
Good God.
Dude, you have like a freaking epic on your phone about what you
watch. How many pages of the essay do you have?
Oh, so he meets up with the chick, right?
Yeah. Well, at this point, he decides that he tells the guy, I don't have the money. And for some reason now he believes him. You don't have the money, do you? Well, you better get me the money. You got 4 hours.
Good. This is where he robs a bank, right?
Yeah. This is where he's like, all right, now I need to get money somehow. How am I going to get $10 million? Because now I guess he wants all of it instead of the his cut of it.
The gold. I hope that gold is in the exact same fucking spot where I saw it last time.
And I hope they haven't beefed up security because they got robbed last time.
He goes to the bar. He goes to the bar where his former partner is and convinces her, saying, "They have my daughter. They're going to kill her. But that's not my life anymore, Will." His name, Will.
Yeah.
Will, whatever.
Yeah.
Will, that's not my life anymore. They're going to kill her. And he goes, "All right, I'll do it."
Yeah, okay. You got me.
Well, you didn't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they got your daughter in that case. I'm okay with crime.
I'm okay with doing crime.
Haven't seen you in 8 years, and but somehow I have this devotion.
For all I know, you ratted on us, and now this is a setup to get me in the middle of a crime, but whatever. They go to this warehouse, and they take the tunnels underground into the bank.
What tunnels?
Like sewers.
Yeah. They find.
But in New Orleans.
Isn't New Orleans completely underwater?
Exactly. That's why they can't bury bodies. That's why everything's in a mausoleum above ground.
Yeah.
They have enough sewer. This is another thing that makes me mad.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
This makes another thing. Yeah. That's why if you ever watch movies at cemetery, everyone's buried above ground.
Yeah.
They can't go underground.
New Orleans is built kind of like, what's that? I can't remember for some reason. No, the city in
Venice.
Yeah. It's built kind of above water.
Yeah.
So that's why they have these pressure gauges that lift up and down to push.
They're called pylons.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I'm like, where the fuck do these tunnels come from?
Okay.
Yeah. This is another problem I have with movies in general. Huh. Anytime everyone goes into a sewer, there's massive walking room. There's massive room. Like in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Those tunnels, there's room to set up a whole crew of guys. And
you got to like crawl through that.
Exactly.
Even if they're big enough.
Exactly. So here's their master plan. He has 3 hours. He had to pull this plan out of his ass.
Wait. They put C4 on the ceiling.
No.
Okay.
It's worse than that.
Yeah, it's a lot worse.
So much worse.
Apparently, the excuse they have is, I've been planning to rob this bank for 8 years.
Yeah, he's been thinking about it for 8 years, although he wants to go clean.
Yes.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
I think somebody
also
messed up on a draft.
A problem that I had also, I don't know where he's getting all his money from. Because at the very beginning of the movie, he comes out of jail. He buys a doll for his daughter for like $20. He buys a cell phone for $40. I don't know where this cash is coming from.
Yeah.
I assume everything's been seized before he went to jail. But somehow he has an influx of cash and then enough to get all the equipment he needs in like 30 minutes.
Well, wasn't the warehouse stored? Didn't they have the stuff he needed stored there? Wasn't that like their kind of offsite to store stuff?
No, this is a plan he invented while in jail.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know how this equipment's all. I don't know. He wants to go clean, but he's thinking about robbing the same goddamn place. He got caught for robbing.
He's in denial.
So they go to the sewers in New Orleans, which is a fucking oxymoron right there. So they're going through the sewers, and they find the exact same spot above them where the gold is. Oh, I sure hope the gold is still here.
Yeah.
They have a massive.
Gold hasn't moved in eight years.
I really hope the gold from this consumer bank has not been picked up by the federal government yet.
What if it's a different bank?
He knows exactly where it is.
There's people in suits and ties and little old ladies doing business in the bank.
Yeah. What if it's – wait. This doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. He gets like a fucking lightsaber cannon.
Yeah.
It's hot enough to melt all the way up top.
The concrete.
Through the concrete. Floor. Through the foundation.
Wait. I have to stop you really fast beyond this genius plan.
Yeah.
How does he and one other woman move $10 million
Gold? All right. You ready for this master plan? They're burning through the...
He has a mini underneath, inside the fictitious tunnel.
This is tunnels. Not the Italian
job. Yes.
They're burning up through and melting the gold, and it's dripping down into the water, so when the hot liquid gold hits the water, it instantly becomes a solid object.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, but then it'd be one big pile of fucking gold.
Exactly.
No, there are a lot of small piles.
Is it like in a dump truck or something?
No.
Or?
She's putting it in a duffel bag. And then they've established earlier each bar of gold weighs 27 pounds.
Yeah.
That's why he said don't worry about the gold.
Yeah.
Because we have money right here. Each bar of gold is 27 pounds. But he – okay.
How much would you estimate the gold bars got melted down into the –
There was
the
a lot.
Yes.
Because he went through the middle of the stack.
Yes.
All the
stack.
Way around.
It's got a minimum 20 bars of gold.
Yeah.
That's what?
Over 400 pounds.
Over 400 pounds. Yes.
That they're both carrying.
Yeah.
I'm sure he might be able to carry 200. I don't know about her.
No. It's in one bag. It's in one super strong duffel bag.
This logistically does not make sense.
Because double bag has a tensile strength of like aluminum or titanium or something.
It's
Okay, you have to explain something to me. Let me my hands on my head for these people who can't see what I'm doing.
All right.
Does it hurt that much?
Liquid. It does. Okay. Liquid gold is falling through.
It's falling through the hole, avoiding Nick Cage and the cannon that's hitting it.
Right.
And it's hitting the water in the sewer.
Okay.
So as soon as it hits the water, it's instantly becoming solid.
Now, as soon as, is it dripping gold or is it oozing?
Oozing.
If it's oozing, and then as soon as it hits, it would make one big pile of gold that was one piece.
Exactly. But for some reason,
it turn into gold coins when it lands and hits the water?
The screenwriter thought, no, I'm going to make it into small chunks.
Yeah.
Logistically, that makes sense to the screenwriter.
It's about the size of like a softball, maybe a football.
How deep was this water?
Not very deep at all.
Was it like
it was a puddle
to your ankles?
No. Yeah, ankle. At the most, ankle deep.
Okay.
No. The whole movie doesn't make sense. None of the plot makes sense.
So Josh Lucas and Nick Cage in the beginning of the movie, Jester, they have this elaborate plan. They have all this amazing equipment to rip open walls and they have to screw into the vault door and do all this crazy shit when they could have just gone underground.
They could have did that in the first place.
Yeah.
It's similar to National Treasure. Remember how Nick Cage went in National Treasure when they were stealing the Declaration of Independence?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know you saw it.
Yeah, I did.
So remember he disguises himself as like a donator and he's going to go in and he sneaks in?
Yeah.
Remember the other guys? They're just, fuck it, we're going to go underground. It's like the same plot.
Yeah, it's like, all right, well, we could just avoid all of that.
It's like every Nick Cage movie is in here.
Yes.
There's National Treasure. There's Gone in 60 Seconds. There's The Rock, because they had to go underground in The Rock to get in there.
With two new ideas.
And Con Air.
Yes. Cell phone.
Yeah. And Con Air.
And Con Air, because he was he's a convict now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So they get the gold out of there, and the cops know where he's going.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because they figured, I want a list of every bank he's ever stepped foot in. What about the one you caught him stealing the first time 8 years ago?
Nobody would be dumb enough to hit that the same way twice.
That'd be kind of funny if they
let's check the sewers.
I know, right? That'd be kind of funny if they check the list. It's like it's the same bank every single time.
He's robbed the same bank 8 times.
Like, we're doing something seriously wrong here.
You can't get insurance.
They figure out he's at the bank. They go open the vault and they see, there's the gold. But then when the camera pans up, giant hole in the sewers. They're like, shit. They escape, or he uses the girl as a decoy.
Right. They get in the truck from the warehouse they were in, and they start driving away, and the cops were somehow already at the warehouse. I don't know how they found out that's where they were going to surface, but they were there following the truck onto the ferry, which was going to transport the truck to a different location. I don't know how New Orleans works exactly. I didn't know there was a bunch of islands.
It's a seven minute boat ride.
Do the police know that they're on the ferry?
Yes.
Okay.
They see a red truck that left the bank.
I don't know what kind of technology they have in this, but there's something called a radio.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, you can talk to someone 7 miles away on a radio in less than a second.
Right.
Where was that technology?
Well, yeah. Danny Houston said, I don't want anybody to move in until they get to the other side and get off the boat. Because the cop asked him, he goes, that's kind of risky, you know, throwing all your eggs in one basket. He goes, well, that's why we have reinforcements. They're going to get there in 7 minutes. So he already is talking to the cops and the FBI agents to be on the other side of that ferry when they get off.
So not but get there now, just get there in 7 minutes.
Instead of stopping the ferry in the middle
of the ocean, where she cannot drive off.
Yeah. No escape plan there.
Yeah, what about like a helicopter?
No.
Because they just steal $10 million from the same bank twice and assault a bunch of police officers.
From a Federal Reserve bank.
Yeah.
And I didn't know New Orleans had a Federal Reserve chapter.
Okay, if this was Grand Theft Auto, he'd have like 10 stars by now.
Yeah.
Yes! The game only goes to 5. He would somehow be the equivalent of riding on a tank in New Orleans, breaking every pillar in the goddamn city.
Right.
And somehow they're just like, man, why don't you just wait for him with some dogs in the back of the car?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. That's all he gets. Yeah.
But by this time, the cops have already discovered that Vince is alive, the peg leg dude.
And how did that happen?
Because they
went
down
to the dispatch at the cab, and they showed you have a picture of this driver, and it's him.
Yeah.
And he goes, much obliged. With the hat.
Yeah, that crazy dispatch dude. I don't know. What was his ethnicity?
Was he supposed to be black?
I don't know.
Did that boy turn white?
I know. It was weird.
It's fucking weird, dude.
He looked like he might have been like Middle Eastern, but then he was talking black. And
he had very light complexion. And he had like a
confusing
Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah.
Weird. We'll show you the clip after.
Yeah.
We'll show you the clip. You're going to laugh your ass off.
What is he? You just finished. You don't want to be rude, so you finish talking. We turn around and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. It's so weird.
All right. I want to see that.
Why are you dressed like that? I'm memorable.
Yeah.
All right. We're wrapping it up. It's going to get better.
Ugh.
So she's the decoy. He's driving to the fairgrounds, which is about 20 miles outside of the city. And this is a real place. This is an abandoned – I read it on Cracked. It must be true. it's the Six Flags of New Orleans that was hit by the flood. So Six Flags doesn't want to pay to repair it.
Okay.
So it's one of the the article was the top seven nightmare places and cities.
Okay.
And it's just an abandoned ghost town.
Was this place in Zombieland?
Might have been.
Because it looked familiar.
A lot of Hollywood likes to film their movies in New Orleans because it's cheap.
Cheaper, yeah.
And most movies don't say we're in New Orleans. No, they straight up say, we're in New Orleans. We're on New Orleans. We're embracing it.
Yeah.
They go there. He has a daughter there. He calls me. He says, I got your money. All right, meet me here. So
Wait. Another problem.
Yeah.
Your money, by the way, is in the form of gold.
Yes. So somebody's going to notice when you're flipping melted gold. Into cash.
Right?
Hey, wasn't there someone who melted gold?
No.
You get that Ed McMahon guy to cash for gold.
Now the cabbie.
Well, basically, because there's no. Because you melt the gold into like non printed pieces.
It's turd shaped.
Which is just fine because you can actually sell gold that way when there's
you can, but the thing is, if someone in New Orleans goes to
if he sells in New Orleans,
if you go anywhere and say I have $10 million worth of gold and
or
they say
may
sell
I exchange,
like 100,000 at a
may
time
may I exchange this for money for cash.
I like to just show up in like Havana with a bunch
of
gold.
Can I see your
ID? If you
IDs,
do that, if you do that, you have to wear a pirate hat and a patch.
Yeah. Well, he's already missing a leg. Right? He already has a peg leg. He's already got the peg leg.
Oh, it'd be perfect. That's why they did this plan.
Can you break a 40-pound block of gold?
Wait. The screenwriter is probably like, gold, pirate, peg leg? And the producer's like,
they did that after.
Okay. Get out.
No, they promoted him. That's what happened. You're all right.
You're head writer.
You're in charge of everything.
Wait, what are you on set? I'm an intern. You're the head writer now. You get the hell out of here. So he meets.
Awkward.
So, yeah, Six Flags.
Yeah, he goes. It's not Six Flags. It's the old fairgrounds. Usually, fairgrounds are not theme parks that have these massive roller coasters already built into the ground.
Yeah, fairgrounds
usually
are
they're
mobile.
Yeah, they're mobile, but whatever. Yeah.
They smell like shit.
Yeah, so they meet him up there.
Also, easily accessible. They just like drove on.
Yeah, both of them just drove on easily.
Yeah.
So they meet up, and you know where the daughter is. He goes, she's safe. He goes, where's the money? And he brings out the duffel bag, still hasn't torn yet.
Yeah.
Right. Bam! You hear it clang when he drops on the ground.
No explanation points?
Give me my daughter. And then something happens where...
He goes crazy again.
I somehow lost it.
He said that, like, my daughter has nothing to do with this. Like, yes, she does. Because she's the one thing you love most on the planet. And when you shot me the leg all that time ago, you took the one thing that I love the most on this planet.
Me.
Me. So his life is ruined now. So now, eye for an eye. You took my life. I'm going to take your love. I'm going to kill your daughter. So he knocks over a thing of gasoline, lights up a flare. He's going to light the car on fire. Nick Cage then...
She's in the trunk.
Yeah, she's in the trunk. So Nick Cage bum rushes him and he like knocks him over and they're wrestling and the flare catches fire. And there's a stupid, ridiculous fight scene where...
Nick Cage gets gut checked. He gets shanked like three times in the stomach.
Shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets shot running, and then Cabby, pa pa pa, like a prison shank, pa pa pa. He gets him like three times real quick in the stomach. He's like, on the ground.
You say that because I know that sounds
How Nick Cage is. The cab is on fire. Nick Cage also gets set on fire, his arm. He jumps in the cab, fire's gone.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
They were just move the story along, kid. You're an intern. You're not a writer yet. You're an intern. Get the story moving. The cabbie gets set on fire.
Well, to be fair, the intern just got promoted for that idea.
He got promoted 2 days. He's doing the second draft.
Right.
So the cabbie's completely on fire. Completely on fire.
Yes. How did this happen?
He got knocked over.
The flare hit the gasoline while they were fighting.
And he rolled around the gasoline.
Yeah, and then the flames hit him.
It's a very Two-Face-esque moment. He hits the floor, and he's like, he's the guy gasoline, and then the fire catches onto him.
He goes, and he jumps into what I thought was a lake in the park. Turns out it's part of the fucking Mississippi because that shit was deep.
Yes.
You'll find out later on. So
he
jumps in.
In order to put the fire on the car, daughter's still in the trunk, by the way. He drives it off the pier.
Full force off the pier into the water. Car is floating above the water.
Okay. No.
Exactly.
Just going to say, I've seen Mythbusters.
Yes.
It's floating above the car. So I'm thinking, okay, this is just a lake in the park. This is a ride. This is where like the boat ride drops
it's like two
or something.
Feet,
it's,
feet
yeah,
deep,
it's basically. Something, right? Because it's
well, it's about 5 feet deep for 20 minutes and then instantly becomes super deep.
Yeah, instantly it becomes like the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. But, yeah. So anyway,
he's trying to get the daughter out. Water's slowly creeping in. She's like,
Yeah, she's running out of air, and then all of a sudden
he turns into fucking like he turns into. Remember V for Vendetta?
Yeah.
Remember when he comes out of the fire, just turns into that.
Hugo Weaving?
Yeah, really? He turns into that.
Except he's not on fire anymore.
Yeah.
Well, he jumps in the water and he like comes out of the water like, from the Black Lagoon, dude.
Yeah.
And he starts choking him. His face is all burned and whatever.
Wait, is the daughter
still
dying?
His thumb is half broken, doesn't affect him.
Yeah.
Still,
and by the way,
dislocated.
Still moving. Yeah,
this guy, this peg leg crippled dude, he's like in immense pain the entire movie, and all of a sudden he's got super strength where he's able to he jumps off the pier into the water and he's able to swim over there somehow.
Okay, I got a couple things. I got a couple like thoughts about this.
Okay,
first off, the peg leg works as a fin.
Right? It's the antelope prosthetic. Yeah.
Well, based on the shape of the peg leg, I feel like it would cause drag in the water as well.
Yeah, you never know. It's light. Right. Okay, the second part is this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second part about it is this, because he was burnt. A lot of the nerve endings got sewn, got burnt off,
seared.
And also the adrenaline maybe have been constantly – it turned into the guy from V from Vendetta where he becomes super strong because of all the burns.
Well, he's got a point because if the adrenaline's going like that, I mean, you really don't feel much.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can't breathe if you're underwater.
No.
Yeah.
But supposedly he can hover with his peg leg.
We need to end this movie. I'm getting angrier.
Yeah.
No, as we're going through
the story. The handicapped guy did this?
Yeah. Yes.
He came out like...
Yeah.
Oh.
Walking perfectly fine in the water. I would think a prosthetic leg would affect you in the water. No,
yes.
He's walking fine. Just...
Yeah. It's a very quick scene in the water where he eventually finds a piece of metal.
It's like a crowbar. Not a crowbar, but it's a piece of metal he uses as a crowbar.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he uses it to...
pop the trunk.
To pop the trunk and then eventually stab the cripple and throw him in the trunk. Daughter's alive. Fantastic.
Then the car finally decides on its own to go forward. Yeah. And then it fucking sinks to the bottom of the Pacific, dude. Or the Atlantic.
There's actually one point where the trunk is completely submerged before he opens to get daughter out.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's somehow a little bit higher up when he puts the guy back into it. Like, this river is very fickle.
Yeah.
This is when we discover this is no longer part of the park. It's now the fucking Mississippi or whatever. Because that car, you see the car just go. The lights disappear.
I love what you use with those sound effects. It's amazing.
Yeah. Wait. I don't think the Mississippi is that deep.
I know, but. There is somewhere where it's deep. Oh, I want to know how the cops figure out where they are. Because guess what? The cavalry's coming.
Wait.
They're always coming.
Wait. No. Let me guess.
How did they find out?
Hold on. It wouldn't be a fire because there's bums having fires everywhere. I'm guessing a GPS tracker on a phone.
Oh, very good. They said, well, let me see that GPS report of his cab. And he goes, oh, it's in the other kid's cab. He goes, no, if he's casing for a neutral ground, I want to know where he's always at. And they find, hey, isn't that the fairgrounds about 20 minutes out of town? That's a good spot for a drop-off. Let's move. Mm. Him and his partner show up.
Actual police work.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they're feds. They're supposed to be above police.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're supposed to be smart.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, not the police.
Well, like
the
I said, this is the New Orleans chapter. I don't know if they're out partying after they clock out.
They're hung over the whole time.
So later in the day, they get better and better and better.
So
they're night cops.
Like, so the cavalry pops up. Nick Cage is spasming like he's dying. He got shanked and he got shot and he's losing blood quick. And he's like, and the daughter finally embraces him. Dad, don't die. Holds his hand. The cops land. They put him in the chopper.
Oh my God.
And then she says, here's my major problem.
Huge.
I have several notes on this. She goes, are you going to take my dad back to jail? And then Danny Houston says, oh no. She asks Danny Houston, are you going to take him back to jail? And he responds, now why would I do that? I'm sure Vincent Kizzy stole that gold.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my problem.
That's the peg leg dude.
Yes.
They're going to blame the gold heist on the peg leg dude.
Yes. Now here's.
When did he lose his job?
Exactly. He's offering to cover up the litany of crimes Nick Cage has committed. Okay. He could pin maybe the gold heist on him. Maybe.
Maybe.
But they have video evidence. In the 12 hours, I have verbatim.
Okay.
That's nice that he's offering to cover up that one crime. But in the span of 12 hours, he assaulted federal agents, robbed a bank, held a cab driver hostage, hacked into a confidential FBI database, broke his parole terms, escaped from police custody twice, melted gold that belongs to the federal government, and trespassed onto an abandoned fairground and trespassed into a guy's apartment.
Yeah.
Is Danny Houston going to vouch for him to an entire police force that witnessed him escape from them and committed these crimes? Did Vincent, with one leg, break into an FBI building and hack their database?
Right.
I understand that he prevented a kidnapping.
Yeah.
But these crimes do not make up for the fact that he committed several federal crimes that are much worse than a kidnapping.
I like the fact that it's like, yeah, the guy with the peg leg
he
was
did
doing
it.
That.
Wait, didn't he?
It wasn't me.
It was the one-armed man.
beat me to the punch. Huh?
So there's still one scene after this.
Oh, what? There is? Oh. It doesn't fade out and he dies? Oh.
So the blonde, Malin Ackerman, she's driving the daughter, and it looks like they're going to a cemetery. And I'm thinking, oh, he died because he was bleeding a lot.
Nah.
Turns out they live in a trailer now, and he walks out perfectly fine, like, hey, baby girl, and they're barbecuing.
Yeah.
Then this scene's weird. Danny Houston and his like partner, who I don't understand how he's his partner, his right-hand man. This guy's an idiot. They're watching him from a boat.
Right.
Apparently, he got away with all charges.
Right? Yeah.
Apparently, if you
he vouched for him, got him off all the charges.
Do you want to know why he didn't go to jail?
Why?
Because he wanted to not go to jail, Adam.
Oh, that's what it is.
He wanted
to go.
He wanted to be free.
There's Sylvester Stallone.
You remember Over the Top? It's not about strength in arm wrestling.
Oh, you're talking about the secret.
It's about
going to kick your ass.
It's about wanting it.
I know.
He apparently
Panda Butler.
Apparently, if you prevent a kidnapping, any other crime, you get vouched for. Fucking President Obama must have called in and said, you know what? I pardon this guy. He's the world's best criminal. I can't let him go to jail.
Or maybe it's because if he gets charged with those things, everything that Nicolas Cage tried to prevent will be put on the FBI guy. Like, for instance, he prevented a murder that I was overlooking, or potential murder that I was overlooking.
That's true, but that comes with the territory.
He should have been fired.
They should have both been fired.
He's still on the job, by the way. They're still staking him.
Yeah.
And they're watching him on a boat.
I can just imagine what they're going to say to him. Like, gee, what are we going to do tonight, brain? It's like,
oh, yeah.
The same thing we do every
night. That's exactly how they are. Watch, that's how his partner is. He's Pinky. His partner.
Does that help? Wait, the cops? Or
yeah, the cops.
The Fed's right-hand man, like his guy, he calls him his bloodhound because he was sending him to chase Nick Cage, is like Pinky. So they're watching him from afar on a boat.
He's lanky and retarded?
No. Sort of.
No.
Okay, so they find that he still has one piece of gold that's valued at $300,000.
There's a 10-pound block.
10-pound block. Puts it on the table, and they're watching it. And Danny Hughes is like, come on, Nick, don't do it. Don't do it. And he's like, and they have him bugged, too.
Yeah. No, they have one of those long-distance hearing thingies.
Yeah. So you know what they are. So
it's like, it looks like a satellite dish.
You're hearing the conversation. She's like, what are you going to do? Well, I mean, you could throw it in the ocean and, you know, live on with your life, or you can keep it, go to jail again. And he goes, I don't know what to do. But his back is to them. You don't see what he's doing in front of him. He then grabs it and he looks like he's going to throw it into the ocean. He's like, ugh! And then there's this weird scene. There's this weird sequence of events where Danny Hughes and the cop are like, and he finally throws in the ocean. He goes, oh, thank God. Now I can go on with my life.
Yeah.
Now he can retire. Now that he caught the world's greatest thief, not being a thief.
Right. Turns out he's a good guy. Job well done.
Or is he? Or is he?
Right.
Because the boat takes off, and guess what?
They
he switched the gold, and the gold's actually on a platter or
a
plate.
It's on a table with an acorn. Used to be. It showed for a brief second there was an acorn on the table.
And the acorns is what he threw into the water.
The whole ending was, as soon as Nick Cage walked out, like, I knew he was going to be alive.
Yeah.
As soon as he walked out and they showed the whole thing, hey, there's a piece of gold there. I already knew how it was going to end. It was a very, very predictable ending. The whole thing was just predictable.
So he did end up stealing.
Yeah. He kept
one piece of gold.
Oh.
Which, by the way, shouldn't they try to find that gold in the water?
Yeah. They just took off like, he didn't do it.
All right.
He just took a minimum wage person's 10 years salary right there just because he was like
$300,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, if you make $30,000 a year.
10-year salary. All right.
That's minimum wage?
Minus taxes.
I don't know.
$30,000?
Right?
That's $18,000.
Minimum wage is about
$18,000?
Yeah.
I found my tax return once for my Limbs and Things days. Or I made like $3,000 in 1 year or something.
Well, no, you didn't.
Maybe it wasn't a full year. I don't know.
No way.
I was also part-time.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I was like,
how am I making now?
Trust me, dude. You make more than minimum wage.
Oh, I know. I know I do. I make way more.
Yeah,
I know.
I miss those days. Anyway, so that's the movie, Jester. What are your thoughts? We all saw it. What are your thoughts? From hearing this plot, what are your thoughts on that?
All this
happens in 12 hours. The sun does not. The sun goes down at the end.
Yeah.
The whole time thinking, there's no fucking sense of time. This is like,
no.
There's no sun going down.
No.
It finally gets dark at the end.
Well, so. I want to see it.
The intern must have thought of that.
Well, Alaska. Yeah.
Or what's that one part of the world?
It's Alaska.
It's Alaska.
Where
it's 30 days.
Like months.
Yeah.
Doesn't Iceland do that too?
I think it's everywhere up there.
Everywhere up north. Yeah, it's everything near that part of the world.
Yeah. Everywhere north.
Everything on that launch.
I'm sorry, Jason. What are your thoughts on this movie?
I want to see it.
You want to see it?
You want to see it?
No.
I know. Okay. No, I haven't.
You've done a horrible job explaining this movie.
I have developed like a love for just bad movies.
Which is what the show has become.
And and I don't know why. Like, I still want to see Sharknado. I don't know why I haven't seen it.
Oh, God in heaven.
It's because, like, movies that I don't know if they're trying to be good, but they're bad. Okay, I mean, is it not that bad?
No, Sharknado's terrible. This one? No. Stolen at least tries to be like a clever heist movie with some kind of cool, like,
with two good
action
ideas.
Sequences.
See, that's the thing, though.
Sharknado is intentionally made to be bad.
See, no, okay, real quick on Sharknado. I was talking about this recently with somebody, and I was like, okay, you don't know, unless you've talked to the director, I don't know. Are they really intentionally trying to be bad, or do you think they hired, like, this director who's like, I'm going to make Sharknado, like, the first shark weird monster movie that's actually credible, where tornadoes take sharks out of the water and then they fly into people's cars and they eat them.
I met the director at Comic-Con. He signed my Sharknado poster, and I asked him, I go, come on, dude. Like, was this a gag? He goes, yeah, sort of. Half of it was, half of it wasn't.
Right.
But you enjoyed it. You're obviously getting a poster signed by me. I go, touché.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, it's becoming like a new thing. Like, people are enjoying these kind of movies because they're going back to ridiculousness. I don't think Stolen goes there.
It's ridiculous. In a different way.
There are no sharks flying in through the air.
No, it's ridiculous how cops work in New Orleans.
It's trying to be legitimate. It's trying.
It's failing.
Failing horribly, but it is trying. Unlike Sharknado, where I feel like they're out to make a funny movie.
Curse you, sharks!
But anyway, back to this movie.
Okay, I'll say I don't want to see it. I won't step out and try to enjoy it. If I did watch it, I get.
You would have a blast with it.
I do. I like criticizing movies as I watch them. I'm like, okay.
You would have a blast with this movie.
If as soon as I see one thing that's not going where it's supposed to be, I just can't take the movie seriously anymore.
Yeah, in fact, the very first time the girl gets put in the trunk, it shows an angle where the hole is already in the seat, where there's a little bit of light coming through.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I noticed that. I'm like, what the? Now she makes it later.
So let me ask you guys this.
Ah, yeah?
Is this movie really that bad?
Yes.
Yes.
It is that
That's
bad.
A yes?
I haven't seen it, but it sounds like...
Sounds bad.
It sounds like it could be entertaining, but it's there are better movies.
Okay. Well, guys...
Yeah, well, my test of a movie, it didn't make me believe that it was in my world. This did not take place in my world.
Because one guy can do everything.
Yeah,
this is
no.
Bizarro World. Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah.
Bizarro
World,
right?
It wasn't a fiction world.
It was a bizarro world.
It was a fiction world. But
trying to be in the real world.
Trying to be in my world, and that's where I draw the line.
All right, guys.
So what happens when it's not in your world?
Lord of the Rings.
But it is in your world.
Lord of the Rings, not
Event
my
Horizon.
World. Perfect movie.
Event Horizon?
Event Horizon.
Not in your world?
Awesome.
Could be my world. Could be. In the future world. I could see that being part of my world. Yeah.
It just sounds weird when you say your world.
I watched Event
really
Horizon
weird.
Recently again. Yeah. I know you guys did it. I would have totally not ripped into it, but there are things because I've been...
No, it was good. Yeah. I like Event Horizon.
If you take apart... I've been doing a lot of... No, if you pick it apart, do you understand what the whole movie's about?
Going to hell.
No. I don't mean the plot. I mean the messages that the movie is throwing at you.
Oh, no.
Oh my gosh! I won't. I'll save it for another time.
Okay. I can't do that.
Well, we already did the show. You might as well just say.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. What is the message?
That you think?
No.
Okay. What is the message?
I'm done. No.
What a dick. That's horrible podcasting etiquette.
If you look, okay, there's a lot of things actually going into the. I'm just gonna say this was a critique, and this is just something of an observation. I'm not saying this.
Okay.
It's true. Who's the captain of the ship that goes to save the Event Horizon?
It's
Morpheus.
Morpheus.
Yeah.
You remember his name?
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne. Larry Fishburne.
Okay. Lawrence Fishburne.
Who's the villain of the entire movie?
Dr. Grant.
Okay. So right away, what is that establishing?
Black and white.
In the future.
Right.
White people are down. They're the minority.
Not minority, but it's. I mean, this was made in present day about the future. Yeah. It means black have come up and they're regressing, and white people are still bad. So. At the end of the movie, though, at the very end, do you remember who was saved?
The white people?
The black dude. The black dude and the white chick.
The black dude and the white chick.
And the guy who went out in space and got his
the
ginger.
Flesh tore up.
The thing is, the message at the end of the movie are...
White men are bad?
No. Well, actually, that's the way things are kind of going recently. But it's just saying, like, in the future, like, things are going to change, like with race. White women are going to end up with
that
black
is
men.
A huge stretch.
I know.
That is horrible.
That's a big stretch.
I just made all that up.
Oh, you
God.
Hurt you.
Stop it.
Anyway.
How dare you?
Let's move on.
All right, guys.
Just edit that out if you want.
Yeah, seriously.
That's our opinion of the movie. We have lots of them. But now it's time to hear from people who we don't have credentials. We have lots of opinions, but no credentials. Now we're going to hear from people who have credentials. So, Jester, this is part of the show where I read them good reviews and bad reviews.
Okay.
From Rotten Tomatoes. Do you guys want to hear good reviews or bad reviews?
I want to hear bad reviews.
All right.
Maybe we should save
Oh, okay. Why did you even ask then?
Okay, the we'll do the bad reviews first.
Good reviews, bad reviews. I'm here, bad reviews. Let's do good reviews.
Glenn Kenny from, oh, shit.
The woman.
I forgot to put where he's from. Okay. Stolen begins at Overdetermined, makes a pit stop at Outright Sadistic, and winds up in the parking garage of Ridiculous, even for a movie of this sort. Now, that's a bad review.
Yeah.
Jesser, our bad reviews aren't really bad, and our good reviews aren't really good. That's a bad review.
That's a bad one. Yeah.
Keith Stachewitz of Entertainment Weekly said, "The deep-rooted silliness makes it hard to take anything in the film seriously, but at least it has the decency never to ask us to."
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Nathan Rabin of the AV Club said, "Cage is uncharacteristically muted. He seems to have given up on making art long ago. These days, all he wants to do is entertain, and with Stolen, he succeeds, albeit only on the guilty pleasure level."
Okay. I like that. Now, I get that, though.
I get it. If you have horrible taste in movies.
He knows what he's – I sincerely believe that Nicolas Cage knows what he's doing. He's not going for the A-plus films anymore. He's going for a long series of B-movies.
By the way, guys, he has an Oscar. I don't know if you know that.
Does he? For what?
Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. That's old.
People are saying, can you retroactively take back an Oscar from future performances?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just for Ghost Rider.
Now it's time for the good reviews. Richard Harity of QuickFlix says, "Stolen knows what type of movie it is and has very low ambitions, but it succeeds on its own terms as a fast, fun, B-grade piece of junk. It is fun to watch for the ridiculousness of it."
Yes.
It's fun watch.
That. That's entertaining.
Matt Donato of We Got This Covered, this must be some blog, I don't know what this is, "From the plot to relationships to visuals, no one single aspect stands out as a genre-breaking moment. But through fun-focused delivery, Wes, the director, is able to successfully create a thrilling watch." I don't know about that.
Thrilling?
No.
Not edge of your seat, kind of like entertaining?
No, not even entertaining.
No, it would be entertaining in its bits.
Like background music?
Not even that. There was some weird moment. I forget what happened, but the music was very like from one of the old Starsky and Hutch movies.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell just happened? It's like the rest of the movie is like normal music, and that was like, what?
Yeah, the score was really weird.
Yeah, some tap dancing for no reason.
Rotten Tomatoes. This is part of the show where I make the guys guess the score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, gosh.
The tomato meter, which is the critics, and the audience, which are the audience who leave reviews. What do you want to guess first?
I'm going to go last because every time...
No, what category? Do you want to guess the critics, the tomato meter, or the audience?
Well, I'll let you guys. You guys do the show. Please,
you haven't been here in a while. You do it.
Audience.
Okay. Give me a number. It's 0 to 100. Let me refresh. Jester and to people out there, anything below 60 is rotten, anything above 60 is fresh, and anything above 85% is certified fresh, meaning good, really good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, audience.
I'm going to say 32. Oh,
47.
God. I'm going to highball it. I did it the first time, too.
All right.
I'm going to go, what'd you say?
47.
48. This is the Price is Right.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
36%.
Woo! You guys both lose.
Yeah. I don't care.
Now the tomato meter, the critics.
I'm going to go 32 again.
Okay. 47.
25.
16%.
Yeah.
They hated it. I think that's our lowest so far.
They hated it.
I think that is the lowest so far.
There's probably too many loopholes.
Wait. Who was the 16%? Wouldn't that feel bad? If you're like, yeah, I liked it, and everyone else was just like, no, it was a shitty movie.
Well, I just read you two good reviews.
Interesting.
I just read you two good reviews.
Yeah, and they're not going to work anymore.
Did you hear the sources they came from? QuickFlix and We Got This Covered.
They're interns.
Wow.
Yeah,
they're interns.
Usually for these bad movies, the good reviews come from like the Iowa Farmer Press and like just these obscure publications.
Those are interns that were hired to make up publications to give good reviews.
Yes.
It's like those cities, they only get like certain TV shows only.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Want to hear some facts?
It's like, yes, I do.
It's like, in this movie?
This is the part of the show.
There are facts.
There's facts.
This is the part of the show where I find up facts like, oh, did you know that?
Oh, like New Orleans does exist. That's a fact from this movie.
Yeah. Okay. Like an example, this didn't happen, but an example would be, oh, Nick Cage rolled his ankle in a stunt, so filming had to stop for 3 days. Stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
I found no stats.
No stats. All right.
No stats exist for this movie.
All right.
No, I did find one, the role of Josh Lucas, who's the cabbie.
Yeah.
It was going to, I don't know, some other guy who kind of looks like him.
Was he from Lost? That guy?
Matthew Fox?
Yeah. No. The guy that always has nicknames? Hey, Freckles.
Oh, no.
Sawyer.
Sawyer. Yeah.
No.
He looks like Sawyer in this movie.
No.
Especially as the decrepit old dude.
I'm going to take Hollywood's point of view because he's just like, nope.
Okay.
No. Very good. Couldn't find it. All right. So, stats. This is a new feature. You weren't around with this. Stats. We want to put this film into perspective with other more successful films that were released this year so we can get a feel of how well financially it did hold up to its peers.
Oh, gosh.
The production budget for Stolen was $35 million.
What?
Would you like to take a guess as to what its lifetime gross is?
Sorry, I guess 12.
That's fine, 12.
I'm going 12.
I'm going with 7.
I'm going to say 27.
Okay. Its foreign box office is $1.8
million. Whoa!
Its U.S. box office is $304,318.
What?
Yes! A gross total of $2.1 million.
I was the closest.
For a $35 million budget.
Holy hell.
They lost $33 million.
I gave it too much credit.
This movie.
I did. I said 12.
Yeah. Did I say like 7?
Yeah.
I said 27.
Way too much.
This movie debuted in 38th place on September 14th, 2012. 38th place it debuted on opening weekend.
Out of other active movies.
Yes.
Wow.
The number one movie that weekend was Resident Evil Retribution.
What?
Stolen was only in the box office for 2 weeks. In the year 2012, this was the 276th highest grossing film of that year.
Wow.
Would you like to hear the top five of that year?
Sure.
How Resident bad Evil. Would it be if you're like, babe, let's go see Stolen. It's playing at
and
the theater.
Two people
and you
there.
Show up. It's not even there yeah. anymore. And it just came out.
Yeah. Posters are burned.
276th highest grossing movie of 2012. Top five that year. Number one, The Avengers, $623 million.
Mm.
Number two, The Dark Knight Rises, $448 million.
Mm. All right.
Number three, The Hunger Games, $408 million.
Good movie.
Number four, Skyfall, $304 million.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, $303 million.
All franchise movies.
All franchise movies, all based off pre-existing properties.
Right.
Someone throws out a new idea, 276th place.
All right.
Welcome to Hollywood nowadays.
It's a new idea, but it's not a good idea. It's an idea.
Yeah, right? I would say, like, because, Matt, we all have some pretty bad ideas, but we don't make those bad ideas happen.
That's true.
Because they will cost us money when we go to jail.
Obviously. It's like, obviously, $20 million, obviously.
Right? I'm being indebted.
$28 million, it went down under. That was horrible.
This movie is available on Netflix. Check it out.
33.
But you can also check it out where?
Go to Amazon. I'm sure they have it there. Maybe. I don't know. If they do.
I think they might sell the DVD for a dollar.
Oh, there you go.
I think it's in the Amazon dollar bin.
If you're going to buy it.
Going up then.
If you're going to buy it on Amazon, go to our website first. Click on the banner on the side of the page. It takes you right to Amazon. Do your shopping as normal. And we get a kickback. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And it helps out the show.
Awesome.
Blossom.
Yep. Go to iTunes. It's probably available on iTunes.
Yeah, you can watch on iTunes too. Same concept. Go to our webpage. Click on the banner and then rent it on iTunes. Buy it on iTunes.
Probably not buy it.
Yeah, probably not.
Wow. With
you might want to rent this.
Yeah. Actually, buy it a bunch of times. And make sure you get credit for it. Yeah.
Make sure you're on our site.
Yes.
Next week, we're still not sure what we're going to do next week.
It's up for grabs at this point. We'll wait for listener emails if you want to suggest something. It is spoilers@ratpackpodcast.com.
I actually have an idea for next week. I just want to throw this out here.
All right.
Rotten Tomatoes is our primary tool, or my primary tool, to get the tomato score, obviously, tomato meter score, and the reviews. We're in a new year. It's 2014. I was thinking, what if we did the worst movie from last year according to Rotten Tomatoes?
The Bucky Larson or something?
No. It's The Getaway, that movie with Ethan Hawke and that chick, like 18-year-old singer. He's like the world's best race car driver. Yeah, Selena Gomez.
Oh, really?
And they're holding his wife hostage. We need you to drive around town.
Is it like that blonde guy?
Ethan Hawke from Training Day, The Purge.
I saw another movie. I think it was called Drive. That looked very similar.
That's what I was thinking.
No. Drive is completely.
That's a horrible movie as well.
Ooh,
with the guy from The Notebook.
We should do Drive because people love Drive.
Who loves Drive?
It has
what?
Everyone was talking about that on Facebook. Oh, this movie's amazing. And
one good thing about Drive.
Okay,
Bryan Cranston.
Maybe we should watch Drive, and you tear it down.
Okay.
And then I try to build it up.
Okay. Or not. We'll think about it.
Yeah. Maybe back-to-back Getaway Drive.
You know there's multiple movies named Drive?
Yeah, the Drive Angry is another Nick Cage movie. Horrible.
Where he escapes from hell and has to protect his daughter.
God.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be up for grabs.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Until next time, guys. This is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jester.